Blog Talk Radio. actions don't stick, babe. Cause my words got weight. We can't neglect the patience that it's gonna take. I'll swim through your mind, I will control you. Love the destination we'll ride to. This could be so simple. You got me, I got you. Lord, your heart leads, I'll feed you. What makes me wanna please you? Forever be here. Forever be here. Let's make love a thing again. Anything broken I can mend. I'm gonna prove to you how real men cut through any damage that was there. Love's a healer, I swear. I'ma make sure that we'll stay.
You didn't call. but it's all bad now. And I tried to make it work. I tried to fit the plan. I gave it all I got. Can't you understand? Oh, free. If you love me,
let me free.
Set me free, baby. 'Cause we're holding on to nothing, nothing.
If you love me,
if you love me,
let me free.
Set me free.
Oh,
Uh-oh, you know what that means. Yep, you guessed it. It's a drip to mic day. The author Hezian got his love going up on a Tuesday like it's a Friday. Two literary prodigies, these scholars be so talented, they can write a novel about water and still entertain a nice tray. No filters tonight, they might say bright day-inducing diatribes that could make a life change. Man, if you ain't gang-gang and don't hang with the Author's Lounge on Tuesday, you might want to rearrange how you prioritize things. This is family, man. The Author's Lounge, maintained by overstanding what's understood so the unnecessary doesn't have to be explained. The pilot and co-pilot flying this plane, entertains by unleashing verbal positive cargo as if it's carried by a train nonstop through your earlobes all the way in until it reaches the creative portion of your brain. Drip the mic is going to the top, high like we just copped a whole pound of the best strain, conducting top interviews and use our platform to help those who choose to network and idea exchange. This is 2 hours of insane vibes. The Author's Lounge goes live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central and 7 p.m. Eastern. Guess what? We can be heard worldwide. You know, I sit back like watching Hezzy quarterback like he come with the content and the God is love catches the ball like running it up the side. Drip the Mic presents the Author's Lounge. Stick around so we can drop that sound that up until inception, you and others have been denied. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear those hands collide. And please help myself and the Drip the Mic Network welcome the Author's Lounge with your host, the author Hezzy, and co-host, God is Love in the building. Let's get it. Yo, 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 what it do, family? Drip the Mic family, how are y'all doing this evening? Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for those of you who have decided to spend a couple of hours of your evening with us here at the Author's Lounge, presented by Drip the Mic. Now, I know, please, please don't boo me yet. I know I'm not the author Hezzy, nor am I God is Love. We're just waiting on the author Hezzy to get here, and he's going to get here, and he'll be taking over, back over, and I will be out the way, so I'll try to do my best until he gets here, but the show must go on. Why must this particular show go on? Because I have the opportunity of speaking with a very, very profound guest we have this evening. And I'm just so excited to do this and get the information, this kind of food for the soul that we're going to be receiving from this guest. I'm just impressed with what I was able to learn about her from the author Hezzy, and I had to learn more. So I was like, yo, we're going to get this information. We're going to get this information to the people. Really, I don't want to hold this up any longer because, again, I'm a little bit excited to talk to this person as well to see what she has to feed us. She goes by the name of Angela Showers. She's a life coach and a prophetess. I just can't wait to hear what she has to say. I think she has some very powerful, powerful information and words that we can all benefit from. And so without further ado, let me go ahead and bring her on. Ladies and gentlemen, please, let's welcome Angela Showers to Drip the Mic Presents, the Author's Lounge. Are you there with us tonight?
Hello, how are you?
I am very well. I am very well. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no. Thank you. The honor is all ours. It is truly, truly an honor to have you here with us this evening, and to bless us with just, you know, some of your information, some of your words. It is really an honor. I think we often overlook people in our lives. I think people are put in our lives, if it's just for 15 minutes or if it's 15 years, to give us something. You know what I mean? And so I just really appreciate you understanding that you do have something powerful, and people need to hear it. And we just we can't thank you enough for bringing that here to the Drifter Mike Office Lounge platform.
It's my pleasure.
Wow. Well, without further ado, I mean, please tell us more about, let's start with, I know that you are also a prophetess, but I want to go with the life coach. Could you touch on some of the highlights of that for us real quick?
Okay. So life coaching, there's so many different aspects of life coaching, to be honest. And okay. I have had the opportunity to work in various fields of life coaching. I also work with business coaching, trauma coaching, intimacy coaching, ministry coaching, believe it or not. So basic life coaching, financial coaching, blended family coaching. So coaching is my thing that I absolutely love.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I think so many of us underestimate what that is. Like for myself, for example, I was at a point in my life where I was one of those, I don't need no coach. You know what I mean? Like it was, I want to call it an arrogance, but I don't think it was an arrogance. I actually think it was, if I'm really being honest with myself, an insecure thing, right? Because so many of us, we want to be good or great at whatever it is, but we don't, we skip the steps. We want to just assume that since we want to be great, that is what it is that makes us great. No, there has to be work that needs to be put in. In order for that work to be put in, you have to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, then how do you accomplish those small steps that get you to the goal, right? And so I was one of those who, like, not myself. But then how can I be that way if I'm a LeBron James fan, so to speak, right?
Right.
With all of his greatness, he's always needed a coach to kind of guide that greatness, you know? And it's not about telling you what to do in life. It's just that if you have positive goals that you want to accomplish in your life, what's wrong with having someone come in to help you orchestrate a plan to get to that? And so that's what's so amazing about people like yourself.
Yeah, life coaching, I tell people, it's like you want you looking at a skyscraper, right? You're on the sidewalk and you're looking at a skyscraper, and what you need is on a 31st floor. You can't jump from the first floor to the 31st floor. Either you're going to take the stairs, or either you're going to have to get on the elevator. With the elevator, that means you're taking you having assistance. Okay? So if you're taking the stairs, you're taking manpower. You're using all of your manpower and your energy alone. When you can just say, you know what, I'm going to take this assistance from the elevator because I don't want to walk 31 flights of stairs. So I can get there quicker and don't have to be burnt out by taking the elevator.
Right.
So that's what life coaching does for us. It gets us there with the assistant. So therefore, when we're ready to obtain the success, that we're not too burnt out to enjoy it.
That is See that, that is a whole another aspect of looking at it that I wasn't even looking at it from that way. And again, like for example, you just life coached myself and those of us who are listening, right? Because, you know what I'm saying? It was just that quick. It was just that quick with that small example right there, because I never looked at it that way. When you were going to say, you know, when you were making the difference between the stairs and the steps, you know, I thought you were going to a whole nother angle, but you just came somewhere where I wasn't, that I've never even looked at it that way. I mean, there's work to be put in, but then there's working smarter to be put in, basically.
That's correct. There's a smart way and a hard way to do it. But we have to decide, do we want to work smarter or harder? Hard work would get you there, but it'll take you longer.
Yes, 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 yes.
So you can work hard, but also work smart at the same time.
Right. Wow.
Because when you have that assistance, you're able, and this is another thing. When you're walking up the stairs, you don't have the same view that you can possibly have on an elevator. Because some elevators allow you to see the view while you're going up.
That is an outstanding analogy.
So while you're in those four concrete walls that are very bland, walking up those stairs, there's no decorations, there's no scenery.
Right.
But you have the possibility to get on an elevator going up a skyscraper that allows you to see different views from different levels as you go higher. That's the beauty about life coaching, because you will be exposed to different types of people that you would never have been able to witness if you continue to hustle and grind, meaning spend all your time on the stairway.
Right, 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 right. Wow.
Because you're
focused
on what's in front of you, but not what you have to obtain and enjoy the view of.
Wow. Wow. And I guess that kind of goes with how, you know, because some of us have worked so hard to accomplish a goal. But when we accomplish that goal, we fall into the trap of believing that that's the end game. And so the work begins to deplete. And we're not understanding that we have to work just as hard, or if not harder and smarter, to keep what we've worked so hard to obtain.
Correct. Because that mindset has to shift. Because sometimes when we're trying to make it happen, when we're trying to make it happen, we're in survival mode because we've invested all of our everything into this.
Yes,
so
that's exactly well.
We're operating out of survival mode. So once you obtain that thing, you have to switch into a maintaining and prosperous mindset.
Oh, wow. Wow, that survival mode, that really, the way you put that really kind of nails it home, you know, survival mode. That really nails it home. Like that, I mean, because, right, exactly, you don't want to try to keep, like, you know, like, so for example, myself, first of all, I mean, you have never formally met. I am Aziz. I am the actual CEO of the Gift of Mind Network. And so and a lot of people have heard my story throughout the literary community where, I mean, I'm a former felon. Like, I have over, like, 10 felonies. I spent a lot of time in the system. And since then, you know, I've gotten out. I've been blessed. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm nowhere near where I was. I'm not nowhere near who I am. I was able to get into a program that people who are that have prison records or whatever, they get them into a college program, help them to get their records expunged, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I was fortunate enough to get into that and go to school and just kind of get myself into just a different type of lifestyle and different type of thinking, you know. And so I've been over the past 10 years, you know, I've just been working on rebuilding myself. And so, I just wanted to explain it to you so you can understand where I'm coming from with this next statement. But it was this thing that we used to always say, and you know, you hear rappers say it in their songs or whatever, this thing you used to always say in the streets, it's not about what you pop, it's about what you keep. You know what I mean? So,
right.
And you could kind of apply that to this, you know, because I do. I bring a lot of the positive mentality as far as hard work from, because I come from, I mean, you know, hustling doesn't always mean doing something illegal, right? So I bring a lot of the hard ethic and some of the things that you have to do to stay on top, to survive, to live in that world. And I try to apply that hard work, because if I could get up and stay up all night doing the things I did for that dollar, but for the real dollar, for the stretching dollar, for the dollar that I can put into some dividends, I could do that too. And so, so I bring a lot of that stuff over, that the positive things I try to, you know. So, but one thing mm-hmm. that does remind me of, it's not about what you cop, it's about what you keep. You could work hard to get it, but if you're in survival mode, as you say, once you get there, then how much hard work have you really put into it? That's smart,
right?
So, that's what I'm saying. That really hits home to me. That really makes a lot of sense about the survival mode analogy. I love how you put that. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, because if it had not been for my brother, I probably would have been that same route. We grew up like in the hood of the hood. You get what I'm saying? Like country hood, Mississippi.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like a lot of things that I learned along the way come from the streets. But I said, you know what? I'm going to take it and I'm going to flip it.
Yeah.
To be able to use it in a legal way. Because I see my brother do it, you know, the wrong way so many times. And I'm like, if he just would have did X, Y, and Z.
Man. Yeah. And, you know, like, and you get mad at yourself, right? Because you're like, wow, wait a minute. There's a legal mm-hmm. way to put this kind of work in and reap much greater rewards. I mean, I start getting 401ks and stocks and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Things to fall back on. Things that you can, you know. And I was like, so, I mean, you mean to tell me if, let's say, for example, I lose my job, right? But I've invested blank, 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 or I've done A, B, or C with this. Then I have something to fall back on to, whereas when I was in the game, and if if I get busted or if I get raided or I take some type of loss, somebody robs me or whatever the case may be, I got something.
Right.
You know, and it was just
see, you almost made
like
me
that.
Say something. Because my mind went there for a moment. And, you know, one thing that I told my brother, he, you know, he had this thing that he was addicted to fast money. And so we know what that is. He was addicted to
fast
money.
Exactly.
So
it
was like, I was like, dude, all that money you had, if you would have put it in a life insurance policy, it could have never been touched.
Right. And it gets intoxicating. It's a whole lifestyle.
Right.
But then, again, when I flipped the script and I said, wait a minute, I can work on my own. Wait, I can make my own money still.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just curve this a little bit and change this thinking, just kind of bend that around just a little this way.
Right.
You know what? I might be able to do something, you know? And so, And so it was the opening to that. And again, so when you said survival mode, like, it just brought all of that back. Like, you know, because it's kind of been maybe a fear of mine. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I open this business, will I prosper, or will it be a business that I find myself, will the business work for me, or will I find myself working for this business? And if I own a company, the company has to work to put money in my pocket. I can't be working to make that business survive. I won't do that.
Correct. So this is the thing. So if you, I tell people, if you're ever thinking about opening a business, the first question you should ask yourself, are you passionate about it? If you're not passionate about it, don't start a business. Because a business is just like a committed relationship.
Right.
You got to be married to that thing.
Yes.
You can't just walk out on it, because if you walk out on it, you don't make money.
It's not a 9-to-5. It's definitely not a 9-to-5.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the question. It's not will I prosper, because if you're passionate about it, you're going to prosper.
Right, right, exactly. I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that. I definitely wholeheartedly believe that. And because I hate when someone comes up to me and says, hey, well, you know what? Frank and them over here, they started making their own food baskets, and they're selling them, and they made a good living. Do you even know, like, where would you, okay, like, are you passionate about food baskets, or do you want to just be able to get the money that they made off of their food baskets? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love passion and wanting to do something, but I never want to do it because I saw somebody make money off doing it. If I don't even really like food. You see what I'm saying?
I can barely pick out a ripe banana. So,
right. That's my point exactly. So because they profit in something that maybe that was a passion of theirs before, you feel like something that you never even thought about, fruit or a basket, anything that has to do with fruit or a basket, but you just feel like since they're making money off of it, let's do it.
Right.
And I think that, and that's the difference in those, in the prosperity of those two businesses is the passion between the two people that are selling.
Definitely.
If you just want to do it to make money, you know, you get a reputation like, okay, if you're selling fruit baskets on the corner of 1960 and Jones in Houston versus the person that's on 1960 and like a Kuykendall, right? If you're known as the person that have the rotten bananas and your apples is always a couple of days old and your strawberries is always, you know, nasty looking, you're just trying to make money. You don't have passion. So there's a difference between what that person makes money off of what they're doing based on you just looking straight at the money.
That's it. But you know where that stems from, though, right?
What's that?
It stems from a poverty mindset. Because they don't believe in themselves enough to invest in their own creative idea. So the poverty mindset will put you in a position where you will steal somebody else's idea in hopes to prosper.
Right.
Because when you grow up in poverty, you will do some things that people will look at you twice about when they have a little bit of money.
Exactly.
You'll do some things that are questionable. So that poverty mindset have you taking somebody's idea and trying to make quick money off of it when you have no passion for it.
Right.
Instead of taking the time and investing in your own creative idea.
Do you agree with the fact that a person with money can still have a poverty mindset?
Absolutely. Now, this is the thing. A person with money, the way they showcase their poverty mindset is they overspend because they got trying to get their kid everything that they never had.
Right,
they
want
to buy every designer purse, every designer pair of shoes. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The most expensive luxury car. Their car notes are higher than their house note.
Yes, definitely.
So they have that poverty mindset because they're thinking more materialistic, not long term.
Sort of playing checkers when the moves that you make on chess moves set yourself up.
That's right. So they're looking the part.
Uh-huh.
Right. They're looking the part and they're in debt, but they're not living the part.
Right.
They're not living in prosperity. They just have a lot of glamorous things.
Yeah,
that may seem better to the people that they live around.
Right. Yeah, I know I deal with a lot of people like that. I call it the social media syndrome because they get these things and they take pictures up on Facebook and all that. And by the time you see them with that thing, whatever it is they just put on Facebook a few months ago is old and played out or whatever the case is broken. However, had you made like sensible and that's like me. I'm the type that will suffer for those, like for those things I really want to obtain. Like for example, I'm at a point right now where I don't want to ever pay a car note before. Last time I had a car note was in 2016. I actually rather save up and purchase just a vehicle. And I'm not saying go out and buy a brand new off the lot, or maybe certified pre-owned or something like that. But I actually rather save up a little bit, buy me a vehicle, because right now, I mean, me and my wife are getting ready to purchase a home in February, God willing.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you so much. So right now, it's only about, you know, just getting our credit together and getting ourselves established, you know, opening up the type of accounts and setting aside the type of funds that will allow us to have a nice size down payment, things of that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So we're setting ourselves up for that. So you have to, I just feel, whether it's physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, you have to set yourself up. You have to set your chess pieces in place to be able to accomplish those things that you're looking to obtain. And right now, I don't want a car note. I'm not even interested in financing unless anything. I'm not financing anything right now. Everything is about. I can have the, you know, like I bought my wife a Audi, you know, like a 2010 Audi. And she's great with this nice, very nice looking vehicle, and she is fine with it. We don't have to have the best one, because we don't want to have the 2021 Audi, 2022 Audi pulling up to an apartment complex. That just does not make sense to me. I mean, it makes no sense to me paying these bills. That I cannot do that. I won't live that way. You know what I'm saying? So, and she's perfectly fine with that. You know, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I will be middle of the road or whatever. Whatever. I don't care if I'm end of the pack. Visually.
Right.
In other words, I don't care if I'm end of the pack, because I have a bigger goal to obtain. So buying those little things that you can take pictures of and you look nice in or whatever. That, I mean, if you have it like that, all the luck, good luck to you. But I have a greater need, so I have to sort of sacrifice. It's not even really a sacrifice. I pass on those things because I see something bigger in my future.
And that's it. And when you have that big picture goal, if you stay focused on that and you follow all the small steps that it takes you to get there, that's success. And a lot of people are not content with that. And like, I'm like you, I don't like a car note at all.
Man. It's a passion.
I hate it with a passion. Now, this is a beautiful thing I like about my brother. So after he got out, he served his time in federal prison and all of that, right? So he got out and he was like, okay, I got felonies. Nobody want to hire me, blah, blah, blah. I said, start your own business. I was like, what do you want to do? He said, I want my own tow truck. So I invested in him to help him get his first tow truck, right?
Okay,
now he has options to go to certain auctions. So what I do, I say, hey, this is what I'm looking for. He go out and find it with the minor damage. And, you know, it may just need a front panel on it or a side door or something like that. And that's what I do. I purchase that way. We purchase from the auction with no notes.
Exactly,
and my dad is
a
mechanic, and he come on and he fixes it, and hey, we rolling.
So
my brother has learned to take those cars and flip them and sell them.
Oh, wow.
So it all starts with one investment. You get what I'm saying? The investment was a tow truck. Now he has auction license where he can go purchase vehicles from auctions. My dad is a mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
So we got everything in-house. Right.
Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing. And see, like, I'm of that same mindset. Exactly. I don't mind, you know, just taking those few extra steps. And so in that thinking, you know, I try to take, like, if I accomplish something I'm trying to accomplish in one area of my life, what I try to do is I take that and say, and try to assert it to another area of my life. Not necessarily the same mm-hmm. steps, but maybe the type of thinking towards that. And I think that kind of what, I think that that's all what kind of just put me in the mindset when I said in 2008 or 2009 was the last time I did any time. But when I said that to myself, like, okay, I'm not doing this again. And before my not doing this again, because I said it every time. I said it every time I got locked up, every single time. But the difference is, time I not doing this again was, I mean, before my not time doing time again was, I'm not getting caught again, right?
Right.
You know, like I was doing these fake little bargains. I used to do these little bargains for guy, right? Or these so-called bargains, right? You know,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure your brother has
we've
done
all done
yeah. Okay, God, I'll tell you what. You do this blank, 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 blank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then you're back in there a few years later. Okay, you know, okay, I understand, God, that didn't go right. But this time, yeah, for real, you know. And so the last time I kind of said this to myself. Well, the first thing I didn't do is I never prayed to God for anything selfish. I didn't pray about getting out of jail. I accepted.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted what I had done. I didn't accept being in jail because that means I would have been giving up and just confining myself to coming back and forth to jail all my life. I had the uncles to do it, the cousins, brothers, everybody who'd done it before me. This time, I just prayed for me to find my way. Whatever your will is, I accept your will and I will follow your will. However, I just didn't ask for anything selfish. I just asked that whatever your will is, please let it be done. And that's all I could say. And when I said I'm not doing this again, what I meant by not doing this again is being in the mindset to do the things that got me here. It wasn't about a way to do it, an easier way to do it, a sneakier way to do it. God knew what was in my heart the last time when I was saying, you do this for me, I'll do this. I think sometimes you say, okay, here you go. I'm going to let you on out. Let's see what happens. Go ahead. Go ahead. There you go.
Yep.
Knowing what was going to happen. I think sometimes you allow me to go out there and follow up. Until I finally got honest with myself. Got honest with myself. And don't get me wrong, it still didn't work. There was no big, you know, change after me realizing that. No, I still had a punishment due. I still had lessons to learn. I still had to look. And you know, so it still had to hurt. I still had to sting. But this time I felt I had the right mindset. And just because I decided to do those things, everything wasn't easy. Oh, God, college kicked my butt. Man. You don't know. It wasn't easy. I mean, college kicked my butt all up and down. I'm taking classes over again. Nothing was easy. I'm just saying it was a little more, I could simplify my life a little better.
Right.
After that, you know, so, but it was
you appreciate it a lot more.
Oh, I do so much more. And so, and I just think like if some of us had more people like yourself that were willing to just share some of the things that they learned through life or because like the passion in your voice, when you talk about it, I can see that this is something you're like, this chose you.
Yes.
And I can hear this chose you. Like, I can hear you as a little girl. You were probably one of the little girls when everybody was getting ready for the games, playing y'all little games or whatever. You was probably one out there organized. Okay, Tanya, you're going to stand right here. No, it's only going to work this way. I can totally see that. Like, you were born for this. Like, you were born for this. I can totally see you just running everything.
Yeah, I was the one hiring and giving everybody their positions.
Right, exactly. You probably wouldn't even have nothing to do with the game. You probably somewhere else just came from nowhere. I'm doing it all wrong.
See, I'm just supervisor.
Okay, so now you're also the executive president of Living in the Truth, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's We Lit. It's Living in Truth. That's what Lit stands for, Living in Truth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that came about because, as you know, church already have a stigma. It's the preacher's the money hungry, or, you know, all this other crazy stuff. So we already know what it is. And so for me, when it comes to church and ministry, I tell people, live your truth. Whatever your truth is, live that. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to have to answer for it.
Right, right. Okay.
And I tell people, you know, so I'm big on that. Live your truth. Don't shy away from your truth, because I can't tell you what God told you to do.
I can tell you
what he is telling me to tell you. It's up to you to do it. You have to live that truth. Because at the end of the day, you have to answer for that, not me.
Right,
and
exactly,
another
exactly.
thing is, it's so many church politics and church traditions and rituals that's not even truth. But yet, because your grandmother used to do it, it kept getting passed on, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's right. Like, why are we... You know, and I have to say this, why are we married women food for the pastor and he got a wife? His wife's supposed to take care of his household, not me and my family. Where is that biblical?
I think you hear some people where it hurt right there. Come on, talk about it.
I'm just saying, where is it in the Bible? You won't find it.
Yeah. I don't think I would have done well in that situation at all. Yeah, I would have even. I'm that guy. Like, I'm pastor. I'm sorry, I missed that verse in the Bible. Can you show me that?
Yeah.
Show me, I mean, I'm here to follow what God has called you to do. I trust you and everything. So I just need you to understand what that part is. So can you? I'm that husband right there.
See, I was a person that got in trouble in church a lot. Because I'm like, what that scripture at, mama? I can't tell you how many times I got popped in the mouth. I didn't see, you know.
My wife was cracking up. My wife was a PK, right? She's a preacher's kid. So she listened to what you said. And she was over here cracking up.
I'm like, where is that at in the Bible, mama? And I'm like, okay, so why we got to go pick up the pastor and take him to church when he got a car?
Right, exactly.
I don't get it.
Exactly.
You get what I'm
My
like,
wife said she thought she was the only one because she grew up in church as well.
You know, well, that stuff baffles me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are we doing all of this? You got women and men doing stuff for the pastor that they don't even do for their own wives and husbands.
I'm not real good in that situation. I mean, I'm a stickler, you know. Like, my wife would tell you, like, I'm not like an insecure guy, but my wife would tell you, I'm the first to let you know, if you ain't done it for me first, I don't want you to be a public man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just, I don't have, there's no flexibility there. Well, maybe, you know, you was in a coma. Well, you wait till I wake up then. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care what it is. If you ain't got it for me, I don't care what it is. Well, babe, I was making a, you know, we're having potluck at work, and I was going to, have you made that for me this week? Then that won't, they won't be tasting that at work. You know, so yeah, I'm like that anyway. I'm already like that anyway. So you think you gonna take me to this church and explain to me that this man is about to, I get that.
Yeah, it's just so much stuff that, you know, people are, they say, they try to blame it as church hurt, label it as church hurt. But the reality of it, some of that stuff is cult-like. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, man,
cult-like
ritual. Exactly. Man, yes. Oh,
and
man,
it's ran by narcissistic leaders But they want to always say, oh, this person is offended because I wouldn't let them do this in the church. Or this person is just mad because such and such. Like, no, you're a narcissistic leader. And because right. they knew what you were telling them to do was not right, now you want to make it look like their church hurt. No.
Mm-hmm.
You were pushing cult-like religious traditions on them.
Right, right.
And
that's what
people don't trust a lot of leaders now.
Yeah.
Right.
I think at the end of the day, it chases people with God. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, some people have a tendency to take it out on the whole faith. You know, as opposed to, that's what these leaders don't understand. Like, you know, your number one duty, your number one duty is to serve your fellow man. And if you're using that power that awesome power that you've been given
mm-hmm.
to do things that are turning these people off. Some people have a tendency to take that out on the whole faith.
That's it. But then what they don't realize is that their blood is on their hands. God is going to hold them accountable for that because you're turning them away from God. That was a soul you were supposed to help save, a soul that they were supposed to nurture. But
they
manipulated. They were conniving and deceiving, and they wanted things twisted. They twisted scripture, and I've seen
mm-hmm.
this done several times, twist scripture and take people prophecies that somebody else has given them and use it against them to make them do what they want them to do to benefit them and their family.
Man. And the thing about it is, it seems like we would have learned from that, because twisted scripture is what was used all the way back in the days of slavery to keep us in the mindset. And now you're taking that same tactic.
That's it.
And you're using it for your own personal gain, egocentric type of thing.
As a slave master to their own people.
Right. Wow. And so now is We Lit, is that an all-women's program or?
No, that's for any and everyone.
Wow.
Yep, that's for any. And I tell people, I don't even say it's non-denomination. It's
mm-hmm,
just a
mm-hmm.
ministry. Because at this point, I'm trying to say this carefully.
Okay.
As I can.
But this is just the mic. So one thing we have here is a platform. You say it how it is here at the mic.
Okay. So, well, let me say this. Religion to me is like a fraternity. The reason why I say every fraternity has stuff done the way they want it done. You got your Kojic, you got your Presbyterian, you got your Buddhism. You get what I'm saying? You got your Baptist.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Then you got, I'm Christianity. Okay, Christianity. Oh, I'm just spiritual. My thing is all about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we push at We Lit. Living in truth. Building your relationship with Christ. Because the reality of it, if you don't have a relationship with him, it doesn't matter how many churches you go to, what denomination that you are a part of, because they can't get you into hell or heaven. Because if you don't have a relationship, you will never get there.
Because at the end of the day,
it's about relationship.
You can't make my religion. You can't sever my relationship with Christ.
That's right.
You have to have your religion. I can't follow you and say because Angela says as long as I do A, B, or C, this and that, I'll be all right. I can't, you can coach me. You can tell me what I need to do. But if I'm not doing those things, then I'm just like riding your coattail. We get to that gate. When we get to that gate, hey, Angela, I know you. Come on in. I know you. You know, like,
I don't know you.
Yeah, you ignored all my phone calls. You sent me some story. Remember? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I feel that wholeheartedly, 100, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Is there a way social media wise, Instagram, Facebook, that people can find out more about We Lit? People who may want to come and just hear some ministry and maybe just get some guidance from you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll find a lot of my stuff. The simplest way, I just say look up Angela Showers on Facebook, and you'll be able to see everything from that one page. You'll be able to see the links. All the links are on that one page in my About Me, so you'll be able to see everything from there.
That's Angela Showers. Listeners and callers, is Angela Showers. Showers is spelled S-H-O-W-E-R-S. Am I correct?
That is correct.
So look her up on Facebook.
I tell people that's my personal page. I don't have a, you know, that's my personal page. I leave everything out in the open. You get what I'm saying? But I have all the links where you'll be able to go to those particular pages as well.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, that's huge. That's huge. So, if you are looking for some information on her life coaching, We Lit, which I'm definitely interested in. I, my wife probably want to talk to you later as well. We'll probably get with you pretty soon too. But like I said, we're getting ready to buy a house, and I think you have some gems you can give us. And we run a business. So we don't accept anything for free. So you don't have no choice. Even if you just want to get some free advice, I'm not going to walk into any lawyer's building and get anything other than a business card and some brochures for free. So I want to ask you
about
to do that. You know what I'm saying? So I want to ask you to do it. We'll definitely be reaching out to you and getting in touch, because we could definitely use some advice and, you know, maybe just some little things to think about that we didn't know in taking this next step to purchase our home. So definitely look out.
But I'd be more than happy to, you know, give you some nuggets on that, because my daughter, she'll be 21 in November, and she purchasing her first home this year.
You know what? You are embarrassing me. Okay, now that, see, you didn't even have to do me like that. I'm getting ready to be 50 in a few months. I haven't looked at, that is embarrassing. It's also a thing. No. But you know what? When people, like, if you know my whole story, where I come from and where I'm at now, I am so happy. I am such a better place. So, I don't care if I was 60, 70. The fact that I'm even thinking about doing this, to where I never even thought myself capable of even owning a credit card. I'm proud. But 21, that is huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
That is a huge accomplishment. That is a huge accomplishment.
But, you know, this is the beauty about it, because you and your wife have children?
All grown up. We're grandparents. It's just us two.
Okay, all grown up. But this is the thing, too. Even with grandchildren, you're teaching them something new.
Mm-hmm.
And you're teaching them the importance of investment. Because buying a home is an investment. Your first home doesn't have to be your forever home.
Right.
Because right now, the way it is, you can purchase now, and the value of your home can go up. The value is shooting up tremendously.
Yeah, that's why we're trying to
You can turn around and sell that home and have much more investment, and then take that money and purchase your forever home. So look at this as an investment opportunity. This won't be your forever home.
Absolutely. We definitely had that talk. We definitely had that talk. I mean, and you definitely sound like some nuggets. You have some nuggets that we definitely want to hear. Like I said, you could just about put a stamp on it that you'll be hearing from us real soon, just to, you know, give us a little guidance, a little advice here and there. And we don't accept anything for free, so don't even think about that. That's just how we get down. And so, but ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening in for this wonderful, wonderful boatload of information that we were able to get from the prophetess, Angela Showers. Again, she can be found on Facebook. Just look up Angela Showers. And if you're interested in anything further that she has here, the links will be on her website. But before we do let you go, someone did sneak in while we were talking. We do have Heavy built in.
Oh, I hate it. I didn't get to talk to you. I had your music all laid. I had your gospel music all laid out for you and everything.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
I did.
Oh, no, man, we had an awesome
it's okay.
We had an
awesome. I'm so sorry. I had your gospel music all ready for you. Marvin Sapp and Ty Tribbett.
Now, Ty Tribbett is my dude, man.
I know he was, man.
I said, listen, I'll try to fill their shoes. I'm not, you know, I was like, I'm not quite off the hezzy, but, you know, I try to fill his shoes or whatever. But you know what? We had an awesome chat, bro. We had an awesome chat, man.
Yes, we did.
She was just, like, just giving
I'm so upset. But it's okay. I can always come back. We're going to have, but I'm going to keep you on that, too. Because
okay.
I want to interview you.
Man,
well, let me know when I'll be ready.
We sat up and chatted like we were at Starbucks. You know, we just kicked it, man.
You did an awesome job.
I think I was meant to meet her. I think we were meant to meet her. I just have that feeling. Probably we're definitely going to be reaching out to her. I definitely have some things I want to talk to her about. It's just because of the way she gives you the simplest ways of looking at some things that you maybe gave thought to but didn't give thought to. So I just appreciate what I was able to learn.
Oh,
yeah, it's definitely been a pleasure. I definitely enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you all again.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Miss. I'm so glad you came on the show, though. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. We'll be back. I'll be back. You just let me know when.
All right. Thank you for joining. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Coming to the office, Lamb.
Right.
We're going to take a quick three-minute break.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to come back with the actor, Phil Mazzetti. From LA, we're going to take a quick 3-minute break.
Yeah, I heard it here. And Ms. Charles, again, once again, thank you for coming in. You have a blessed evening.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me wanna let it go. Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you wanna do. Can't let nobody take it away from you, from me, from we. No time for moping around, are you kidding? And no time for negative vibes, cause I'm winning. My heart is gonna live my life.
Watch the sunlight peek over the horizon. Ooh,
back to the Office Lounge, presented to you by Gypsy Mike. Call in at 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak. Now, I wonder if a certain lady from a 540 number is on the line. Hello, Ms. 540. How are you?
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I see you've, okay, you got me out there this evening. Okay.
Uh-huh. Might as well.
Okay.
Might as well get you ready for the big time.
Yeah. I'm working my way up there. It may take a little bit, but I'm getting there. I'm trying hard.
Get some taste of how you doing.
Doing pretty good. How are you all?
Oh, busy.
Okay.
I can't catch the break.
Trust me, I know how that goes. I know all too well. But by the time by the time I get one thing done, there's something else waiting. So, you know. I guess, as they say, that's just part of life.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to tell my CEO that I got two chicken sandwiches, two French fries from Burger King for $4.99 with the app.
Oh. Wow. that's what I call a bargain.
Mm-hmm. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. But no, everything is going.
You know what? I don't normally like interrupting your show, but that was just downright rude. We're just talking about those chicken sandwiches like that. That was just
downright. Hey, they the ones that shaped like a submarine chicken sandwich too. You know which ones I'm talking about?
The long ones. Uh-huh. Hey, don't play. Don't play. It ain't good. It
I have to pick
what
I'm talking about.
There's nothing
wrong
with that. You have to have a little fun. It's all good. It's all good.
So, Ms. Taylor, how is everything going in Virginia? How is school and how your writing coming along?
It's coming on really good. I'm still taking my classes, but, you know, I still got a little ways to go, but I think I'm going to be okay. I've earned one certification earlier this year.
Uh-huh.
And I recently applied for a position to write for YouTube.
Oh.
Actually, what it is a segment, and it's, you know, how you go. Say, for example, if you're going on YouTube and you're looking for, like, a particular topic, like, to deal, say, for example, for a health issue, a mental health issue, if you have a family member or a friend that has some sort of an issue, you know, medically, you want to get some advice or what have you, the scripts are like, you know, like when you go to the page and the person that's narrating it, you know, the story, you know, what the information and the research. So that's what I would be doing. It was just like the segment, you know, like if you have a heart condition, or if you say, for example, if you have epilepsy and you, you know, you want to know from start to finish what the, you know, what the...
Is that similar to like medical billing or something like that almost? Or you...
It's more like... It's more like the story itself, like the information, you know, like if you, like I said, yeah. And it's like the person that you hear, like, narrating the story or whatever you're trying to talk about. In other words, I will be writing those. It's like scripts. Basically, you're writing what they would say, what it's about, you know, the causes, the effects, you know, things that they could do, you know, you know, to rectify the situation. And it's, you know, and it's, you can, it's virtually. She asked me the first interview, the first part of it, she'll ask me, you know, where I'm from, where I'm located, you know, what makes you want to write for, you know, write for us. And then you give them all that information. Once you, once they get all that, then you do a, they have what's called on their site, it's a section of different topics, and you choose, you know, choose whichever one you want to write about, you know, as a sample. And, you know, I sent that to her. And then if you have, because she asked, do you have like a writing portfolio? And I said, yeah, it's dated. It goes back, you know, quite a while. Because I did a lot of my, I told her I did a lot of my writing in school. Basically, it really, the talent really came out in high school because I said, I know that this has been years ago, but I used to interview students for the school newspaper. And I would write articles for it, you know, and I said, it's on my Facebook page. So I told her, I said, beyond that, I did projects in school and in college. So I, what I did is I, you know, I created a big, this huge portfolio of all of what I've done. You know, these are just, I told her, I said, you know, being that they are old, but older, mm-hmm. but these are just samples of my work. And then I did send her some samples of the classes, you know, the writing that I've been doing in my classes. So, you know, that helped. So the second, you know, she got back to me and she gave me another topic she wanted me to write on. And
now
so
what
I
did,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I was like, okay, I'm thinking, okay. Because I wondered when she sent me another one, I'm thinking, okay, I hope I did okay on the first one. Okay, well, nonetheless, I went ahead and, you know, followed the instructions, what, you know, which way they wanted it written, and, you know, I did what she asked me to do, and then I sent another big sample of my work to the, you know, through her email, and
okay.
when she got that, you know, I haven't heard anything yet because it had to be in by yesterday. She said, you know, you have 1 week to submit it. Okay, so you better believe the rest of the week through the weekend, you know, I put some sweat in it, you know. I said, okay, here's the time. Okay, this is the opportunity to prove myself. So you better believe that was the time to roll up my sleeves and, you know, put some sweat in it, and that's, you know, that's what I did. I had two people critique it for me, and you know, I figured I look at it this way: whatever happens, you know, God has the final say, and you know, if it's not, you know, what He would have me to do, then I just have the mindset, if that's not what He would have me to do, then He has something else for me. He has greater. So, you know, I'm anxious, but, you know, you have to prepare yourself either way. So,
definitely,
you know.
Definitely.
You know, I can be at ease because, you know, I know that I gave it my best. And when I know I gave it my best, you know, I don't go to bed worried and, you know, concerned or wrestling with it because I gave it my all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the way I look at it, it's in His hands, you know, and He has the final say, but I feel like I did well, but, but I am going to, you know, regardless of which way things go, I'm still going to pursue. Because I've had too many tell me that's a good talent, you know, besides music. That's a good talent. So I'm just going to, like I said, if this does not work, then, you know, like I said, God has other plans. So, you know, I'm trying not to let that discourage me. But I feel like that what I have done, you know, maybe the projects, you never know where life will take you, because I've done stuff at church. I've done a lot of stuff at church. I've helped direct the play. Matter of fact, I narrated it, actually.
Okay.
I did some plays in school. I did several plays. I did a lot, you know, as far as church speaking publicly, you know, announcements, like I said, emceeing programs, you know, because they would come and they would ask me, "Would you, you know, you do a nice job and, you know, we like how you, you know, make the presentations and stuff." So, you know, I feel like this, you know, hey, this is a, this would be, you know, a stepping stone for me. But, you know, I look at it like this, that this does not, if this does not go the way I want it, then the way I look at it, God has something else in store.
Exactly.
You know, I may have to take a little, redirection, you know. but unfortunately, but, you know, sometimes that's the way life goes. So,
That's all right.
But, you know, I'm going to continue to, I'm going to continue to use my talent, you know. You know, God gives us, I believe God gives us all a talent, and he gives us all a purpose. And, you know, I've learned in life sometimes when you think, you know, you're going on the right direction, and you think that this is your purpose, or that you think this is where he would have you to be, sometimes, you know, sometimes things go, you know, in another direction. So, you know,
definitely.
You know, I'm preparing myself either way. But if it, you know, if it does, then hey, that's, you know, that's a positive step in my direction to, you know, use this and move forward, you know.
Definitely.
So, I did see another opportunity also. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was yesterday where they had open positions for TikTok. And I think it's something to do with the videos. I was in a hurry yesterday. Yesterday was a busy day, but I did jot it down. I think it's TikTokResumes.com or something. And they did have some, they did have some open positions there. So, and I think they're going to be, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're going to be all this week. So I might try to check that out as well.
Okay.
Because, you know, you never know, you put your all into something, but as my mother has always taught me, you know, have your backup plan.
Yeah, always.
Have your backup
always.
Plan, you know. It's good, but, you know, give everything that you do your best, but always have your backup plan. Always.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Because I remember meeting you for the first time. I think we was what, ECPI?
ECPI, let me see. That was ECPI 2010, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
2010, 2011.
That long.
Yes, we have. Because remember, we had... I can't think of what his name was. It was his business class. I can't call his name. We had that project to do.
Sunil.
Yeah, I think so. We had
Mr. Sunil Vasudeva.
Yes. Yes, because he had us to do that. It was a business project, and we had to – it was really a lot. It was a lot of details to it. We had to make this plan and – I was like,
yeah, I was like young and wild in them days, you know.
Zeke, I look at it this way. We all have a past. We all. That's why I tell people, hey, I'm not one to judge, you know. We all
yes,
have
indeed.
Had a, you know. God, as I was taught in church and Sunday school, as God has taught us, thou shalt not have a right to point a finger, so I can't point my finger at anybody, you know.
Oh, that's right.
You know. That's the thing I can say. I, you know, remain humble, you know. But, you know, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, we live and learn, you know. Sometimes you have to, sometimes we do things or we get into stuff that we shouldn't. I mean, but we, you know, that's how you learn,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's how you experience things, and that's how you learn. So
that's right.
You know,
that's right. Yeah, you got to live and learn.
You got to live and learn, and you know, sometimes when you think your life is just going crazy, you know, that maybe I've had a few people tell me, you know, they've encouraged me to write a book, and that's my future goal.
You should do it.
Because, you know, what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with, you know, I can bless somebody else, you know, as they call
True.
It, pass it forward, you know.
That's it. That's it.
You know, to be the, I just turned 50 May the 2nd. And to be happy.
You still look like you're 35, girl. Go ahead.
Hey, it works for me. Okay. Hey, I'm trying. Put it this way, I'm trying to hold it down. I'm seriously trying to hold it down. But some days when I get up, the joints in the body might say otherwise. At times, you know. With the aches and the pains, and then, you know, the vision changes because, you know, my mother coming up, my mother said, okay, wait till you get about 44, 45, maybe before. She said, your eyes are going to change, you know, and you get into the reading glasses stage, and it's like, okay. I told my mom, I said, okay, I'm just really not ready for this. But
well,
you know,
guess what?
I'm blessed.
You just
to
had
be,
your first interview. To be prepared
hey,
for when you
here.
Write your book live on the air. Now go
well,
ahead and introduce yourself
huh?
to the world.
Oh yeah, as much as I've done, been called on in church. You know, if I certain churches, or it's the one in Appomattox that I would visit a lot, and he knows me, my mom, you know, my family and stuff. So anytime I come, anytime he would see me, you know, he would see me, and he would, you know, give me words of welcome, and he said, you know, have a word, because he knows I'm a talker. I was like, I usually come prepared. I said, because he's gonna put me on blast. I know. I'm going to get put on blast, so.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm kind of used to it, you know, so.
Okay, we're going to introduce
you know,
yourself to the world then. You got to get used to that, your introduction.
My introduction? I would say I am Miss Yolanda Taylor. You pronounce it Yolanda, like the singer Yolanda Adams. I'm 50 years old. I just turned 50 years old, May 2nd. I am a native of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I live in Virginia. You know, some say, well, how did you? I said, that's when migrate from the north to here. Well, that's a whole nother story for another day. But,
don't worry. We'll get it. I'm glad you was on the show because we could talk and, you know, and it's, you know, you make something out of nothing.
Exactly.
So
because
like,
I know.
Like my next guest, well, we scheduled him because he was going to be on a little late. I was like, well, I might as well interview you.
Because when you said, because I called, see, I was running.
Talk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, when I looked at the clock, I was, you know, doing some laundry and some other stuff. And I said, oh, goodness, let me call to get on the show, you know, to check out Zeke and the authors and stuff. So I said, at least I got a good hour or so in, you know. So that's when I said, let me call real quick. And then because I was listening to the music, and then when you heard somebody say, I think we have someone from the 540 area, and I'm freezing, I'm going, oh, no, he didn't put me on blast. Okay. I'm thinking, no, he didn't put me on blast.
Oh, yeah.
I I have been officially put on blast.
You got to see, in this business, you got to think fast on your feet.
Yes. So before I even said anything, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, you know, be prepared. Listen to what he asks you and, you know, be professional and, you know, cause that's what I'm, and you're right, because I was doing just that. I was doing just mm-hmm. that. I'm like, okay, I know the do's and the don'ts, you know. So I said, well.
And, you know, the way life is in these days, everything is rush. We barely have a time to even sit down and catch your breath. Like,
exactly.
When I get off of work, it's rush. And you barely have a time to sit down and relax and, like, okay, to reflect. You know, so one of the things that I'm going to start doing now is taking at least 30 minutes to 45 minutes to sit down and reflect and to go over and to, you know, just to look at my life,
reflect
what I'm
on
doing
your
right
day.
And what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just need a moment to breathe. You know,
mm-hmm.
just like recently, I you know, corresponded with a friend of mine I've been friends with for years. And, you know, we've been buddies forever. And, you know, they're going through some things. And I just told them, you know, take a moment, you know, and they were, you know, going on vacation. I said, take some time just for you. Just for you.
Yeah.
Just don't worry about mom and, you know, family. Just that. Take some time and go and spend with your family, you know. Laugh, you know, go out a little bit, you know. And I could see that, you know, they went out and you know, and they're still out. And I mean, I said, everybody needs that. Sometimes you just have to cut everything else out and just, as a younger generation said, do you. Because I do that all the time, you know. And when you feel overwhelmed, it's like, oh, you know. And
yeah.
then I get to moments where, like, okay, I'll be trying to write. And, I mean, stuff comes in my head quick that I should be writing, you know, just my thoughts and stuff like that. And then I'm talking maybe to my best friend. And then maybe
mm-hmm.
I'm talking to my mom. While I'm talking to her, my mom is texting me. And then something's on TV, I'm recording that.
Yes.
The dog is barking, and it's like, whew, you know, I'm starting to feel like McDonald's. How may I take your order? That's the way I started to feel, because everything, you know, is coming at you at once, you know.
Uh huh.
And then when it comes to after a point, when it gets to be too much, okay, it's
That's
like
right.
okay, everybody, okay. I'm going to catch up with you. I'm like, I have to. I have this assignment. I've got to go and finish writing. If Zeke, if you like I am, sometimes you have to just, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you know where I'm going with this. You have to get away from everybody when you get ready to write.
Oh,
when you're
yeah.
trying
I'm
to focus.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Or I can, for me, though, I can block everybody out just as easily.
Sometimes I can, but me, depending.
I be so intense when I'm writing. It's like after I'm done, it's draining. I'm mentally drained, and I'm just beat. Like I done finished 12 rounds with a boxer, for real. But that's how it just takes it. That's when you know you have a passion, because your body is mentally tired.
Yes, indeed, because... this weekend, I was trying to put the finishing touches on the project, on the sample script that I sent to them. And, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, okay.
I just seen the Bumba guy just walk in.
Huh?
I just seen the little Bumba. Let me behave. Ricky Valens, I just seen him walk in. I ain't lying.
But
I was trying to take a picture. I'd be wrong for that, wouldn't I?
You know, Zeke, you would be wrong for that.
I'm going to take a picture. But no, I just want to thank you for coming on this show tonight.
No problem. I mean,
and,
tune in next week. You know.
Because we got a surprise next week, a real big surprise.
Okay. That sounds good. I was glad I finally finished, but, you know, everything around you, you have to take that break sometimes, you know.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
But, you know, so I saved samples of my work, so all I can say is I've done my best. You know.
Hey, that's all we can do is keep trying, get back up and keep trying again.
That's it. And encourage someone else. And that's basically what I do.
That's right.
Is what I've done. You have to, you know, if I look at it this way, those that were there for you when you're trying to make it and you're trying to come up in the world and that have encouraged you, you got to pay that forward, you know.
Yeah.
Never be afraid to give that same encouragement to someone else.
Shoot, I don't think nobody gave me no encouragement. I pushed myself.
I didn't, and I see.
They told me I couldn't do it. That was all the encouragement I needed right there. They told me I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
When they tell you they can't, then that's what pushes you even more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That was the word. I couldn't do it, and you won't do it. You will not be able to do it.
But, you know, the funny thing is, and you and I have talked about this, and this is what really gets me with people. The people that tell you that you can't and the people that you wanted to associate with in your life,
mm-hmm.
They didn't have time for you. You were a nobody. They had no time for you. You were nobody to them. But as soon as you get a book published and you're coming up, and things are progressing.
Everybody, congratulations. How are you doing?
Yay, how you doing?
You're a family now. Oh, yeah?
I'm like, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't wait when I was struggling? Really? When I was struggling, you brushed me off like I was I was nobody.
Dead weight.
And now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dead weight. I was a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in my own personal life, you know, the guy.
You know what? That's one of the things
I
gotta ask God
with.
For forgiveness for, because I think I feel very gorgeous, and like I can look at the comments and be like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Guys that wouldn't even give me the time of day back in school, and it's like they look at me now. I'm getting all these. Inboxes, that, and I'm like, really, whatever,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's how I
nope.
am. I'm like, whatever.
Nope. If I wasn't good enough back then, you didn't know me when I was struggling, I'm going to need you to keep that same energy way over there where you at. Keep the same energy over there. I'll speak to them in passing. I'll be cordial, but no. Mm-mm. You know, you need to, you know, just go way, way to the back. You know, I'm good. You know, I'm the type. I will be there for my friends that have been with me all along through thick and thin. Always.
That's right.
Always. I said because that's what, you know, I know who was here and who wasn't. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
It's time for me to close.
Okay.
So I want to thank everybody who joined us on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I enjoyed myself.
And tune in next week. We're going to have some great guests next week. We're supposed to have Miss World Star and actor, reporter herself, Moni Sutton, will be coming into the house. Big time movie actor, producer, director, everything.
Okay.
She'll be coming to the house next week, so it's going to be on fire as usual. And thank y'all for dropping in and tuning in to the Author's Lounge. presented to you by Drifting Mike, 646-378-0355. Thank you, and you have a great night.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
Hey, I'm just curious. Niggas can't be serious. Woke up like, what year is it? Niggas on they period. My chains and gave me some. It ain't no curing it. I seen dirt, heard up close, bitch, ain't no fearing it.
My name's Superior.